today is, I almost said April 5th, but it's February 5th. It feels like April 5th because it's beautiful and sunny here.
Today is an open window version of the news, so enjoy those ambient sounds.
The sound of trains and things it's not banging.
There's
right on cue.
The train right on cue. We planned it that way. The other reason the windows are open is because the building smells like a pool hall.
There's some construction going on, and the workers may be smoking in the building.
I don't know if it's probably OSHA doesn't allow smoking on construction sites, right? That's weird.
And, well, Wendell specifically asked, please don't smoke here.
It doesn't.
And they said, sure, as they lit up the next cigarette. Yeah. Today's going to be government and robots, a weird mixture. Because it's a weird kind of day.
And in case you're wondering, those are superb owls in the background.
Oh, is that this weekend? Is that tonight?
That was this past weekend, yes.
Oh, right. This past weekend.
Oh, yes. Definitely not tonight.
Who do you have your money on? Team A or Team B?
Who's in it?
I don't know.
I think it's the Patriots is one team.
I think
again?
What?
That's what I think.
Everybody hates them because they're always the one.
They're the best. Yeah. I'm the best.
Yeah, you guys should also join Patreon or buy stuff from our merch store because January really is the worst timeline for ad revenue.
Like, yeah, the Patreon continues to bleed pretty badly. They've really angered some people.
Yeah.
About half of the people that have left Patreon have gone over to Ko-fi.
I say Ko-fi, but I think it's supposed to be coffee.
It says buy you a coffee, right? So I think it has to be.
But it's funner to say Ko-fi.
Funner is not a word.
I sent an email to Progressive and Campbell's to have like some sort of, you know, grudge match to see who has the best soup. So maybe we can call that the Super Bowl.
Progressive sells car insurance.
They also make soup.
Progresso.
Progresso.
Yes. Oh, it's Progresso. I messed it up.
You messed your joke up.
I messed up the
warm weather.
Level one in a microcosm.
Getting on with the news. This is, I think this is finally maybe a good answer to this, because I think this is simply saying reverse it.
Put your thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
A new net neutrality bill is headed to Congress. Senator Ed Markey said it's coming soon.
It does seem like the panel of judges, which is the next story, they are very skeptical of the FCC, which is a promising sign.
The Ars Technica article says the FCC struggles to convince a judge that broadband isn't telecommunications. So there was one paragraph in this article where I literally put down my phone and it was like, praise Jesus, hallelujah, somebody can read. Finally, we have somebody that can read on this, because the thing literally says like an information service runs over a telecommunications service. And so the judge is like, okay, you're saying that broadband is an information service. On what telecommunication service does that information service run? And the lawyers for the cable company, which, you know, FCC, whatever, are like, do what now?
I like how cable company FCC is just the same thing.
Is the judge unable to be bribed? They may be able to read.
Now, you are misrepresenting them. That is not what their argument was. Their argument was that DNS was a service on which they offered information, and without DNS it could not function. Now I wonder if these judges understand that you don't have to use the DNS from the ISP.
Netflix would like a word too with the whole throttling thing. Like how is the throttling thing DNS based?
Well, no, that was just their excuse for why information, not telecommunication.
So it's the Wookiees are not from indoor defense.
They also mentioned one other thing that was equally ridiculous. I don't even remember it because it was equally ridiculous. But another thing that we could probably do without. Well, so they've got our fingerprints. They've got our iris scans. They've got our face scans.
Got our bowel movement patterns.
Yeah, they got our DNA, our blood types. What's left? What more could they extract? I'm here to tell you.
The Intercept tells us that prisons across the U.S. are quietly building a database of incarcerated people's voice prints.
That's like a really terrifying timeline.
It really is. But there's a lot of people that sound really, really similar.
And what if you're good at voice acting? You throw your voice.
Well, so how they're doing this, as they explained, is one prisoner who was no longer in prison and so was able to actually speak out about it. He said they pulled them all out They did a head count, and they came up to him one at a time, and they were like, you will either go to the phone and read these phrases as you are prompted by the robot, or you will no longer use the phone, ever. And so, of course, most of them did it. And reading those phrases calibrated the voice recognition.
Nice. So,
now, in prison, I watch a lot of...
A lot.
Lock Up. And those HBO prison documentaries, they don't come out as often, but they are, like, way better. Like, they're the more, like, realistic raw stuff. And one thing they'll do, like, modern prisons, they just give you a number. And your number is kind of like your password to everything. It's commissary, it's phone. They have a video conferencing now. And you go to this little kiosk, and you punch in your number. So it's not uncommon for you to be shaken down for your number and someone else to make calls on your account. So I guess it kind of makes sense that they would try to defeat that with this. But I don't think this is the way to do it.
So if you've got an inmate that can impersonate another inmate really well, they're going to just run up the bill a lot?
Well, they would have to know both. And the modern system, they just threaten you.
Oh, okay.
And make you give them your number.
Wouldn't the solution be just having, like, one of the prison personnel actually just monitor who's using the phone when?
Yeah, but who's going to pay for that? These are for profit. They cut every kind of expense that they can.
And just having a little screen on the phone that's like, this is Bob making a call. It's like, that's not Bob.
Yeah, maybe. Of course, then
photo ID.
Some of the prisoners would probably sue them for, like, undue surveillance or something. And both sides are horrible people in that equation most of the time. You know, like, probably 80% of the time. So they're always trying to get one up on the other one. Well, if you hate being tracked in all of these various ways, then maybe San Francisco is the place for you.
San Francisco Supervisor Aaron Peskins proposes citywide ban on facial recognition technology. Okay. I don't think that's going to work, but okay. Yeah,
I don't think anybody cares what the San Francisco supervisor. What is? I've never heard of that role.
He supervises before. San Francisco. That's maybe where the confusion is.
What power does he have?
I've learned from Fallout that the supervisors are mad with power and kill everyone.
Those are the overseers.
Oh, yeah, right.
You just can't get it.
I can't get the things, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know who else can't get it today? Yahoo's legal team.
I think that's almost every day, not just today.
Reuters says this U.S. judge has rejected Yahoo's data breach settlement. So this is really Verizon's problem, not Yahoo's problem. But you remember Yahoo, how they like literally lost every single account during that whole Verizon buyout thing because no one at Yahoo cares anymore, as evidenced by the fact that they're literally now worthless? The judge is not wanting to let Yahoo settle for, what was it, like $15
million? $43 million.
Or $43 million.
But here's the
pennies on the dollar.
Here's the crazy thing about it, and I agree with the judge, but it almost seemed like he was ruling against the plaintiffs here.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that he questioned, rightly so, is that $35 million of that was going to the legal team of the plaintiffs. And he was like, you guys... I think the quote was, none of the arguments proposed were particularly novel. In other words, why would that be worth $35 million? And he's right. So, I don't know if he's looking for a lower number, though. I mean, that's not good if it's overall cheaper for Verizon.
Well, they know for next time. Next time there's a company in this situation, the lawyers will demand $90 million, so the $35 million will seem reasonable.
Yeah, I guess. Well, if you're saying to yourself, you know what, I would like to get my hands on a corporate server. That's something I like to play around with. How does $8 sound?
Authorities shut down Xdedic marketplace for buying hacked servers. Now, it provided access to more than 85,000 hacked servers in its heyday. So this was, you know, typical like dark web, whatever, you can buy an account. I'm not so sure that we're not going to learn later that authorities have been running this place for like 6 months.
They do like to do that. But this was where you could buy RDP access to a variety of high-end servers. Most of them, you know, corporate environments. Some of them were government, you know, just in case you wanted to get on one of those. And it really was around $8 to $10 for access. Of course, you don't know how long you're going to have it, but you can do a lot of damage and, you know, a day or two.
Depending on how good the database was, you might be able to do some laser-focused targeting of somebody that you're interested in.
But it just goes to show you, the only way it would make sense if $8 per account is feasible, although I guess they could sell concurrent, right? Mm. But it has to be so easy to get access. Because you wouldn't invest any amount of time for $8.
Internet security, just woefully inadequate? No. Impossible.
Well, more security woeful inadequacy is in the phone networks, which we now use for two-factor authentication. And sometimes, through no fault of your own, you'll get screwed hard by that.
Motherboard brings us the article about the hacker who stole $5 million by SIM swapping. We've reported several stories, several times on this guy's escapades. He gets 10 years in prison as a result of this. It's the first sentence of this kind.
I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
I mean, that or more. Yeah, I would say. Now,
I'll say 10 years doesn't seem like that long, considering.
Right, and you might be thinking, well, this is like, you know, the problems with two-factor, with the SMS, blah, blah, blah. No. This guy was kind of social engineering or just straight up bribing the telecom people to give him cloned SIMs and attacking the accounts that way. He knew people had a lot of cryptocurrency, and he knew he fished them to get their accounts on the crypto exchanges. And then use this to get past the two-factor. Yeah.
Well, and there are SMS alternatives that are much more secure, like the two-factor auth applications that run on your phone. Those are not vulnerable to these types of attacks, which are good. So you should probably not be using SMS, just SMS for your two-factor.
Now, I don't know the official statistics, but I just think from empirical evidence, just based on like close personal experience, I'd say at least 1 in 3 people are severely addicted to the internet.
The digital drug, the internet addiction, spawns the U.S. treatment programs. They're checking me in later. Don't worry. It's fine. It's even in Mason, Ohio.
You'd have to go for like a month.
28 days.
Yeah. Well, you can still use the internet. You just can't use it obsessively.
Which, that seems strange to me that you would not be.
Have you ever, seen movies or documentaries where they're checking people in and they go through their stuff? And they're like, oh, no, you can't have this caffeine.
It's like phones.
Oh, you can't have the cigarettes, you know. And it's like, oh, and it's like I'm imagining them going through your stuff.
It's like, no, you can't have the palm top. No, you can't have the e-reader. No tablet. No laptop. No backup laptop. No other laptop.
Backup laptop.
Is this a Raspberry Pi? You know better.
You see, like, the scene where, like, shaky cam gets in your face and you're, like, breaking down crying.
I find that
I do know better.
The symptoms of addiction are mitigated with time structuring, where it's like, I'm not going to check my email obsessively, but I am going to check it every 2 hours.
That's called
bargaining.
Yeah, bargaining.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I did that when I first started playing Overwatch and I was like full-scale addicted. I had to like bribe myself. I was like, okay, you have to go home and you have to fix dinner and you have to do these chores. Once those chores are done, then you can play Overwatch for 2 hours.
But then like, you just half-ass those chores.
Yeah, because I'm like rushing around. Yeah.
Well, last week we talked about Huawei, and Huawei and China sort of in concert came out and said, listen, United States, if you have something to say about Huawei, get specific. Tell us exactly what we did wrong. And a lot of people criticized the U.S. because they didn't come up with anything. But wait.
There's more.
It's from Bloomberg, and they say that the U.S. charges against Huawei with stealing trade secrets and bank fraud. So you dig into this, and I think this one was one of the articles that reported the trade secrets from T-Mobile? Or something like that?
I think T-Mobile, that's a separate charge.
Okay. There's a lot happening with Huawei.
Well, so these came out of New York, and there was one from Washington. I think it was the T-Mobile one. Yeah.
So it's not looking good. The bank fraud thing really just stems from the whole doing business with Iran thing, which on the world stage, I mean, China's a sovereign nation, Iran, there's agreements in place. But the trade secrets thing's a little more serious, I think.
But the sanctions, I think, didn't China agree to those?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know.
But it's China. Yeah. I mean.
Now, this is, of course, to get the extradition of the CFO. So you remember how Canada was talking about, like, we might not do that? Well, the extradition treaty states that you cannot even appeal it if some of these crimes are also crimes in Canada, which I believe is true.
Yeah, these definitely are crimes in Canada.
She's coming. Oh, Lord, she's coming. And that's not going to be good for international relations.
No, it's going to make things really uncomfortable for Canada as well. I think one of the government people in Canada was like, can you guys just work this out so that we don't have to do this?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. They were actually kind of waffling, but this will kind of galvanize their position. They can't. They can either pull out of the extradition treaty from the U.S., which would be unheard of, or give them what they want.
Here's your engagement challenge. How is this relationship between China, the U.S., and Canada explained using characters from sitcom TV?
You think someone will do that? That's a lot. I don't know. Yeah. Someone will.
I mean, it's like, you know, China and the U.S. are kind of frenemies, but frenemies is really not the right word. And
Don't just give them the answer. They got to come up with it themselves.
Canada's the hapless idiot that's caught in the middle. I mean, it seems like it kind of fits a lot of TV shows.
You're going to make some Canadians real angry with that.
Sorry.
Oh, they'll apologize. Sorry. Don't apologize to them. That's their thing. That's cultural appropriation.
Oh, sorry.
Now, I've never heard of NERC or KIPP. Have you guys heard of NERC or KIPP
before? I've heard of NERC, yes.
I have not heard of NERC.
NERC is the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, and KIPP, I guess that's KIPP and not SIP, is the Critical Infrastructure Protection.
Of course.
And it turns out they're actually doing something.
They are fining utilities $10 million, citing serious cybersecurity risks. So they did a study, and it was very detailed, that basically looked at our infrastructure, like electricity and all this other kind of stuff, found that it was made out of baling wire and duct tape, and that literally any, you know, foreign nation could just waltz right in and, you know, it's like program Hoover Dam to, like, melt down Vegas. Not a problem.
Yeah, and so this fine is the record, I think, but it's still not massively huge. The other thing that's interesting is they didn't release those details, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because that's like, hey, attack here, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, some people were criticizing it because it was like, well, how, except for the very upper echelon of these, you know, places, how do we know what to fix?
I'm not really sure that we've really figured out how to build proper secure computers. Like, I'm not so sure that our intelligence service really should step in and like be like, this is how we do this.
This is not about that, I guarantee.
Yeah.
This is just like some real rock dumb simple stuff. This is password 123 on a post-it note.
Yeah.
And on the secretary's PC. And
what's the password for the reactor? Meltdown with a 3 instead of an E.
They wouldn't even go that far.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, I won't remember that.
Well, Canada, you know, if we haven't angered you yet, this should anger you, but it should be self-loathing.
Yes. Canadian citizens, listen up, because you need to do something here. Canada's Bell tried to have VPNs banned during NAFTA negotiations. Yeah, your phone company tried to have VPNs banned during NAFTA.
Although, you know, I bring this up when we criticize other governments. It's like, what are you thinking, Australia? It's like, well, do you want yourself represented by the Trump administration?
No.
Or Verizon or Comcast, you know, it's not really Canada's fault.
Well, I mean, Canadian citizens are going to have to be like, okay, look, this is the corporate death penalty for Bell. They're too powerful if they think they can do this.
If Canada was a person, Bell would be a tumor that they have. They don't want it.
But it's there.
But it's there. So what are they going
to
do?
It's expensive to cut out.
Now, they didn't say
like our FCC.
They didn't say VPNs should be banned. They said VPNs should restrict anything used to subvert copyright, which would mean logging and inspecting VPN traffic, which essence
defeats the purpose of the VPN.
Means that there's no reason to use a VPN. So
we must spy on everything.
And we have to give the Canadians some credit because they didn't get their way.
No.
The tumor was, you know, like injecting the poison into the body, and those white blood cells, they lined up.
No.
They wouldn't allow it.
The problem with that, though, is that it keeps moving what is reasonable, and it's a pretty binary situation. That kind of thing will never be reasonable, but it will make future unreasonable arguments seem less unreasonable.
Right, yes. You give a little bit each time.
Yeah.
Listen, we just want compromise.
Yeah.
Except one side, their way is leave us alone. And the other side is compromise, and you get a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and then guns are banned.
Big if true.
Wisconsin has been in the news lately, mostly because everything froze.
Like hard.
But
literally, 4 days ago here, it was like 6 degrees.
Yeah, the
and
weather.
Then it was like negative 30.
Nature doesn't care about your plans. So now they get maybe a little bit of good news, which they've gotten before, and now they're getting a little bit less, and then they didn't get it again, and now it's back in the lesser form.
Foxconn says it will build that factory after all, citing a conversation with Trump. So Foxconn was going to build a display factory in Wisconsin, and then they weren't, citing the global marketplace and that kind of thing. And so now they're saying, well, we're still going to do something in Foxconn, and it'll be a factory, but it's probably not going to be something where we're competing with, like, China and Japan labor prices.
It was going to be, I can't remember what they called it, but it was like, the number was 10. Now the number is going to be 6. So the difference there is 6 is smartphone through 75-inch panels. They're making displays. 10 would be up to, like, baseball park Titantrons. So, a little bit less than expected.
Neat.
Well, Apple has been known to give evil governments, and I say evil governments realizing that ours is evil as well, anything that they want, except for FBI access. For whatever reason, they die on that hill. But China, do what you want. Some of these Arab countries, yeah, don't worry about it. And now, Russia.
Apple will reportedly store Russian user data locally, possibly decrypt on request. Now, we've got another story coming up about the admin credentials for that database, but we'll talk about that in a different section because that's exciting. But yeah, Apple, because that's the law in Russia. There's a lot of companies. If you do business in Russia, you got to store your stuff in Russia so that then they can get at it.
And somehow they had just been, like, just kind of ignoring that because they're Apple. But they finally, Russia finally called them out. And they were like, okay, sure.
We need the money, so. Yeah.
The thing that's really scary as an American is, like, you are told all of these ideals where it's like, look, no, we would never want the same thing. But here in America, they want exactly the same thing.
Yeah. It's almost like they're just people.
Well, lizard people.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like, they don't have any business needing
it's
that.
It's an important distinction.
We're going to get flagged as a controversy channel.
We've already been flagged.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Well, so we know that Apple, speaking of censorship in foreign countries, they do whatever China tells them to do. But up until now, it's been kind of difficult to tell exactly what they're blocking in China, because sometimes they block things because it needs to be blocked. And it's like, well, did they do this because it needed to be blocked? Or, well, now you can tell.
The Intercept brings us this great story about a new site that exposes how Apple censors apps in China. So you can go through this and actually see the stuff that is censored, which is a lot of fun.
It's a AppleCensorship.com.
Yeah.
Krista.
So you can see things side by side.
Oh.
How's that?
That's a cool image.
That's a good one, right?
That is good.
It's the Pixel Apple.
It's simple.
Well, it's the Pixel
Apple. But it's also the Chinese flag.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a clever use. Good job. Two icons.
The Intercept.
The Intercept is so clever with these things.
The Intercept actually has a really nice site design, and it scales well.
I'm going to be so disappointed if it turns out the Russians are funding The Intercept.
Russians well, do have good web design.
Chinese apps are super popular in China, but they're also super popular in India. But there's a bit of a barb, a hook in a lot of those apps.
Chinese apps seek excessive information from Indian consumers. At least 6 of the 10 most popular Chinese apps, including Hilo, ShareKit, TikTok, as well as others such as UC Browser, ask users to provide access to the camera and microphones on their smartphones, even when such access is not required. So this is kind of a follow-up. I don't think it was last week, I think it was the week before, we reported about a lot of applications that go through China that just store and log everything. And this is the same kind of thing, except it's happening with applications that are used heavily in India.
It had a list of them. I thought it was like
they redacted
an itemized list, but there was a lot of like image and beauty type apps. So some unsuspecting young Indian folk, all they want to do is put some nice beauty filters on themselves, and the communists have their data.
We've got another story about that later. There was an audit of like the top 2 million or 4.3 million apps or something. And I don't know. That'll be
what an illustrious
story.
List to be on.
It was like the top 25 apps with 4.3 million downloads.
Something like that.
Well, of course, we find out that Huawei is charged with data theft. And we've seen China steal some military secrets, according to our government. And so maybe this would make this one a little less surprising.
A second China-bound Apple car worker has been charged with data theft. So it was kind of cloak and dagger. The last time we reported on this, there was a worker that worked in the Apple car division. They went to the airport, and they were apprehended sort of at the last minute. It was like, shut down the airport and apprehend them because they got some logs and all kinds of other stuff. Well, this is a second person who's been apprehended, not in connection with the first, But a similar type data theft where it's like they were going to apply for a job and then they were getting ready to leave and it's like they accessed some stuff maybe they shouldn't have and so now they've been arrested.
Pictures. Took pictures
in a restricted area, yeah.
And I think what he should have done in that situation is he should have been like, of course I was taking pictures, bro, I'm Asian.
Well,
that's our stereotype.
No, there was. Well, it was really like super suspicious. Like the article talked about how like you had the ironclad NDA, and then you're not supposed to do that. And then like one of his coworkers was like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Ah, you know,
yeah, that nothing."
That was a joke.
Oh, okay, sorry.
He also did not. He said he was going to visit his sick father when he was in fact going for a job interview.
Yeah.
So probably guilty. I think he admitted to it actually.
Yeah.
When they catch these guys, they fall apart. They cannot stand under scrutiny. Of course, they're probably being tased and beaten.
Is it that they're trying to help a country, like a company at home in their home country, or is it that they're working for the state?
Where's the line?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about Huawei, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of India, if you want to, these big companies, especially the commerce and the phone companies and stuff like that, they want to be in India because India is sort of like the new evolving country.
China, well, there's so many people there.
Well, China,
so many consumers.
They saw what happened in China, which was like the emergence of the middle class on a rapid timeline because the technology and the industry and everything is already developed somewhere else and sort of like the structure, and they just have to sort of fall into it, which they did. India will probably be next, and you really want to be there to gobble up some of that money, right? But India doesn't really want you.
India wants local companies. We've reported on this before, but Amazon and Flipkart face uncertainty as India readies new rules for foreign e-commerce companies. So basically the short version here is that you have to be an Indian company to do business in India, sort of, kind of. And so Flipkart is the one that Walmart bought, I think.
Well, right? There was kind of a loophole.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, you want an Indian company to do business? We'll just spend an insane amount of money on Flipkart. And India was kind of like, okay, we'll change the law again. And so now the rule here, one of the big rules is you cannot sell a product exclusively. So all the Echo stuff is out.
Yeah.
They probably can't even get great value in India.
Oh, what a travesty that is.
You also can't sell more than 25% of your stock to one third-party retailer. So you can't play this shell game where it's just like, oh, we're it's not Amazon doing business, it's Amazindia.
Same thing.
And it's like, well, okay, that's fine, but they can only sell a quarter.
We're going to sell 20% of our stock to each of Amazindia 1 through 5 that cover these geographical regions. It's like geographic distribution, geographic product distribution.
How about these guys styling ass blue frames here? Looking good.
He's one of those emerging, you know, consumer markets we were talking about.
An Indian hipster.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, India's economy, I mean, in terms of like an information economy and lots of smart people, it's a great destination for outsourcing. Like, not call centers, but other stuff.
Well, they're in that crazy. We talked about this before, but they're in that crazy situation where they have an incredible space program and a booming economy, but people are still shitting in the rivers.
Depends on where you go.
Well, I think that's just an issue of just scale. There's so many people,
yeah,
and like they just can't get the infrastructure up quick enough, and it's kind of corrupt.
Well, there's a lot of people in New York,
yeah.
Well, I guess people are pissing in the streets in New York.
Yeah, yeah. People shitting.
You know what? I should get off my high horse.
Yeah, we got a lot more room to spread out in the U.S., so you just don't notice it.
They got that rampant ID theft problem there too. With it's like, let's do digital ID cards. Oh, that did not go at all according to plan.
Not what we expected.
Well, this is interesting because everybody in the EU loves to attack Facebook because Facebook is an evil empire. But now it's not just the people in the European Commission, but it's a snitch.
Snitch. The Mozilla chief operating officer has contacted the European Commission voicing concerns about Facebook's lack of ad transparency. This article cites a couple of situations that Mozilla ran into with Facebook that's like, wait, what now?
Yeah, they were saying, we want to follow the rules of advertising in Europe, but when we try to advertise on Facebook, there's so little transparency. We don't think that's possible. So,
Facebook doesn't probably really care that much. But
no.
As long as they're making money.
I don't know. I mean,
We've got so many Facebook stories this week again.
The EU can hit them with such insane fines these days. I think eventually they're going
to
care.
Things are the slap fight between Google, Apple, and Facebook is crazy, but you're going to have to wait until tomorrow to get that.
Well, this one is a crazy example of when we talk about state-sponsored hacking, specifically the NSA, what could go wrong? Well, it turns out that when you have these tools, you don't work there forever. You go into the private sector at some point, and guess what you take with you?
Reuters brings us this article exclusive. The United Arab Emirates used cyber superweapon, I'm putting quotation marks around superweapon, even though it's not there in the title, to spy on iPhones of foes. So a team of former U.S. government intelligence operators working with the United Arab Emirates hacked into the iPhones using this cyber superweapon. I mean, an iPhone is basically a Unix computer that you can have remote access to. And so, of course, intelligence services have completely and thoroughly compromised those. So you can use it as a listening device. You can use it for tracking. You can use it surreptitiously for all kinds of really interesting tasks.
It's a cyber super weapon, Wendell.
This one was to the title. Well, this one was SMS.
Yeah.
So all they had to do was find your Apple ID or email or whatever and put it in there. And they talked about how this was Team Raven. That sounds cool, right? It's like, oh, super hackers. None of them had any clue what they were doing with this. Like, this software was so good, you literally just punched in email addresses and it started spitting back nudes and text messages. And it's like, oh, these elite super hackers. No, these were just like, you know, rock dumb part-time ex-NSA people. No, they were ex-NSA.
Wow. Yeah.
That's why they had access to this. It is not known whether or not this continues to work. They did admit it lost a lot of functionality with iOS 7, was it? One of the versions?
I wonder if there's a security team inside Apple that is like auditing access to look for these kinds of access patterns. And they're like, hey, if the intelligence community has developed this kind of a tool, the access pattern would probably look like this. Let's make sure nobody's developed such a horrible piece of thing. Then they ran the search and then it's like,
oh no.
Get Tim Cook on the phone. He needs to be in here now. Like, I wonder if there was a moment like that inside Apple.
And they clearly used it on a lot of, like whistleblowers and freedom fighter kind of people.
Aaron Schwartz.
They called the one woman the Iron Woman of some country. But anyway, she was part of the Arab Spring uprising.
Terrorist, dissident, overdue library book. They're all the same.
Yeah. So that hopefully that's not still going on, but it just goes to show you that you shouldn't... Well, that specific one, I mean.
Oh, okay.
But it just goes to show you that you can't, even if our government isn't using it incorrectly, which it is, it doesn't mean that it should exist, because it eventually will be. Yeah.
I like it. Like we have said many times in the Level 1 news, these weapons is like giving chimps machine guns.
What could go wrong is what you mean.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Well, we have a lot of unsecured Internet of Things devices, and it's a problem. And a lot of people... maybe not in the government, but a lot of people in the security industry are, you know, constantly saying we have to do something. But what can you do? Japan has a novel approach.
Japanese government plans to hack into citizens' IoT devices. The Japanese government wants to secure IoT devices before Tokyo 2020 Olympics and avoid Olympic destroyer and VPN filter-like attacks. So they're hacking for good, not to spy on you. Because somebody else will hack to spy on you and mine Bitcoin and
they just like put a notice up on your smart fridge. It's like, hey, by the way.
By the way, we're attacking the Olympics.
No, actually what they do is they hack you and confirm that you were the one that was hacked. Then they send a letter to your ISP, who in turn contacts you and tells you to update your stuff, change your password or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of bureaucracy, really.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be super. Remember the Bricker bot? That was very effective. Where it was, some vigilante was like, I'm tired of all the crap. If you still have an unsecured device, I'm just going to turn it off.
In this case, Japan is kind of like Batman, you know, with like the nonviolence, whereas BrickerBot's more of the Punisher. But it's funny because they talked about, you know, the Olympic thing and the VPN filter. The reason Russia, like, that was clearly Russian state actors. And the reason they did it is because they were pissed because their people got banned from the Olympics for doping or something. And it's like, it's got to be fun to have that amount of power where it's like, hey, get a hacking team together and go after this country because they didn't let us into the Olympics. I'm mad about that.
Sir, shouldn't these resources be spent elsewhere? No.
Oh, you'd never say that.
Even going, thinking back like 10 years ago, these headlines are just absurd.
Yeah,
well, I feel like they get more absurd every time we do an episode of the news. Like
an army of, I mean, how long until it's like an army of Nest thermostats is responsible for the death of 17 elderly people in rural Wisconsin as it shut down their heating?
Well, they killed people in Ukraine with the heaters, remember?
Oh, yeah, because they just turned it off.
Yeah. Well, they called it to cause an infinite reboot loop, which prevented it from working.
I saw one of those Internet of Things thermostats was offline over the weekend, and somebody in Wisconsin was tweeting up a storm about it. They're like, my house is cold. I can't turn the heater on. My thermostat's broken. Somebody came over and just like twisted the wires together, and then they had heat again.
Probably. That's probably a federal offense.
Yeah.
Probably a felony. Yeah. Well, we talked, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about Facebook app on certain phones, you simply cannot delete it. It's a spying apparatus, which you cannot delete. Well, South Korea, you know, they probably read that story.
Yes.
And they said to themselves, we should probably change this.
South Korea rules that pre-installed phone bloatware must be deletable. New guidelines require the industry to allow smartphone users to the option to delete unnecessary preloaded applications to rectify unreasonable practices and reduce inconvenience. South Korea, I think, was it Iceland that did this first? So South Korea is following suit with Iceland, I think. This is good.
Well, South Korea, though, is, like, Iceland I can see because they're, like, one of those really
small,
like, they're not in bed with the companies as much. But, I mean, South Korea, Samsung basically owns it.
Yeah.
So this is actually a bold move on their part.
I wonder if somebody, I didn't think about the Samsung angle, but yeah. Because yeah. Samsung makes a lot of money from those pre-installed apps.
Oh, yeah. You know they do. So... be interesting to see.
Can't wait to talk about the pre-installed. No, it wasn't pre-installed, but I can't wait to talk about the app, the Facebook VPN teenager debacle. But that's not this episode.
Don't stop ruining the next one.
Well, moving on to robot news. And the first robot we need to talk about is one of the oldest robots that we know as a country, really. The AI robots, at least. And that's Siri.
Apple has removed the Siri team lead as part of an AI strategy shift. Apple executive Bill Streisier, I hope that I got his name right, has led the Siri team since joining the company in 2012, has been removed as the head of the project in a sweeping strategy shift favoring long-term research over incremental updates, according to a report on Friday. What I want to know is this a promotion? Is he going to be doing more of the AI stuff, or is he going to be doing less?
I
thought I read one report that he was working on the team that was working on
the cars.
The
right?
cars.
And the cars, they just fired like a bunch of people out of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was accurate or not.
Yeah, they seem to be sort of unhappy with the fact that all the other in-home bots are outselling. Yep. What do they call the Google one or the Apple one? HomePod, I think.
Yeah, HomePod.
HomePod is not popular.
Well, didn't we have the story about the 200 question test Siri did better than Alexa and Cortana?
Well, you're foreshadowing again.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But We did a story previously in earlier weeks that Siri was the worst performer.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That's what you put in your head right now. So that the other one is a pleasant surprise.
Too little, too late, Bill. Get out.
Yeah. So rip Bill. I'm sure he's well compensated. So
yeah.
He'll be fine. Yeah. Well, so one of the things we talked about the robot that had the gripper, it had the suction cup and the gripper, which was a huge, you think that's a simple thing. No, that's a huge leap in robotics because picking stuff up and manipulating things, robots are really bad about it. That if we had them, like if you used them for childcare, they would just crush the little children.
Or they would just let them slip right out of their little robot hands.
It'd be one or the other. I can't get in the middle.
I always wondered why the Mr. Handy robots in Fallout had like a buzzsaw attachment. It's like, oh, this robot's for childcare. Why does it have a buzzsaw?
Well, you never know. You might need to saw a kid in half in case, you know, there's a dispute over who the kid's mother is.
So one of the things that they just keep trying and failing to do is to give robots that delicate touch, and we might be getting closer.
Robot combines vision and touch to learn the game of Jenga. A machine learning approach could help robots assemble cell phones and other small parts in a manufacturing role. So, yeah, we can play Jenga robot.
Ooh, it's like lawn Jenga. Wait.
What?
Is it? No.
Oh, my God. You're so blind. That's a green screen.
I thought it was like a really big set. I want lawn Jenga at my wedding.
It's just a standard. Oh, wow. So this little guy will... Yeah, he's Jenga size.
Yeah.
I'm
saying there are giant Jenga sets, and I thought it was a giant one at first.
You just wanted to talk about your wedding.
No.
So what he'll do is...
Got it on my mind.
He actually does not play Jenga. He's not good at that. Because he cannot make good decisions about which block to remove. Like the structure...
Well, that's not what he's trying to do.
No, no. All he's doing is just he's getting in there and he's giving it that delicate touch. He's caressing these blocks.
Why is it he?
There come the downvotes.
Because men are better at Jenga? Yeah, and now what they did, you would think, okay, this guy's just trapped in a room playing Jenga over and over. No. They had him play 300 games of Jenga and then sort of like do that AI thing where he plays it over in his head again and again and again to try and figure
some
out.
Kind of living hell.
Yeah. Just can you imagine playing Jenga all 24/7?
So what could I've done better?
And nothing else. But I'm sure that this research is going to translate directly into sex bots. Because, you know.
Neat.
You don't want them gripping too hard.
I was thinking warehouse, but all right.
And it'll go to sex bots first. That's what drives innovation. And another thing is, what if those same sex bots could literally read your mind?
Columbia engineers translate brain signals directly into speech. Thanks, Columbia engineers. So I guess this was, they played recordings for people and listened to them like saying like 0 through 9 or whatever to look at what brain regions activate. And then they were to imagine like saying it back, I guess. And there was an AI that was monitoring their brain activity. And it didn't really take a very long training process for the computer to get pretty good at it.
Well, did you play the sample?
Yeah, it sounded really like gravelly.
It sounded like someone who just drank about a fuel tank from a car of grain alcohol was saying 0 through 9.
All we need is a couple implants to clean up that signal-to-noise ratio, and it'll be fine.
Well, it did go through a neural network to clean it up, so this wasn't even the raw output. But it is kind of cool that someday they'll be able to just immediately read our minds and lock us directly into jail just based on our thoughts.
I'm excited because we just heard the voice of a future Stephen Hawking.
But that would just, how could you get over the, you've got this thing in your mind that people that talk like that aren't too bright. There's something wrong with them.
Usually it's like, yeah, they're like a coma patient
so
or someone who has like
you don't
want to
take
trauma.
A man of that intellect and saddle him with that preconceived, I don't think I could break that down in my head and like.
Well, do you have that kind of a preconceived thing with the Stephen Hawking thing? Because I mean, they made
no. It's literally a robot talking to me.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, I'll take advice from a robot. Robots are smart. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, there you go.
But we might not have to wait for another Stephen Hawking. Who knows how long it'll be before we get another man of that caliber? But that's okay because we will have machines that can do this job for us as they're self-aware.
A step closer to self-aware machines, Columbia engineers create a robot that can imagine itself. So that might not sound like much, but...
It's also a weird way to describe it.
Yeah.
But let's see. I think they got a picture of this little guy. Oh, no, they don't. They got
And it immediately feels self-conscious.
So it's just one of these standard arms. You can get these. You know, they just come pre-built. But the cool thing about this guy is no part of his programming was like, you are an arm, and these are your dimensions. This robot had no concept of itself. And then they were just like, okay, figure out what you are and pick up these balls. And it did it eventually.
Neat.
It took a while.
We know that that's not how Commander Data was built. Because at one point he's like, you know, my ability to walk depends on knowing that my legs are exactly 27.2 centimeters long and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, they had a open loop and a closed loop way of this thing figuring itself out. It got 100% on one, but only 44% on the other.
It's like a toddler learning. Yeah.
They
walk,
literally compared it to a toddler. Because, you know, like when they try to walk, they're just stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they get feedback. They get sensation.
Right, exactly.
And then also people clap when they, like, take one step.
I don't know if they did that for this thing.
No.
I think that would be considered cheating if they clapped.
The closed loop thing is kind of like the clapping. But.
Well, I'd love to show you a headline or maybe even a nice picture here. But the Washington Post.
Thanks, WAPO.
Flexes
so
on us again.
Here's what Washington Post does that drives me crazy. If you ad block or, you know, throw up your little paywall, whatever, that's fine. But they redirect the URL back to the root.
Without fixing the title.
Which means that I can't use outline.com. But they don't fix the title, which you can't see, but we can. And this one is about robocalls.
Report, Americans got 26.3 billion robocalls last year, up 46% from 2017. I would say that based on my own personal experience, it's up 387%.
They talk about how a lot of the people questioned simply weren't answering the phone, which is weird because I think they do these surveys over the phone.
Someone just called 911 outside our office. You can hear it. Actually, I don't know if the mic would pick that up. But
Oh, yeah, I can hear that.
It definitely can.
So, yeah, they talk about how people just aren't using the phone and it's getting worse. They are doing the, what was the name of that? Something slash something technology. Anyway, all the phone companies are picking this up. Maybe it'll help. I don't know. I don't think it will a ton. But I definitely very rarely answer the phone.
Well, there's just so many better ways to communicate than the phone. The phone is rude and it interrupts what you're doing and it's just terrible.
My mom insists on the phone. Yeah. She likes to hear my voice.
There's a lot of people who just won't stop using phones, but whatever. You know what? I thought this was going to be in a different section of the news and it wasn't. So we really, really should have put this back with the other Siri story.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. So yeah, this one, it kind of contradicts.
It's the follow-up to the bill goes to another division. The Motley Fool has this article. It's like, Siri gets much smarter as Apple's investment payoff. Oh, it's an 800-question test. I thought it was a 100-question test. Apple's digital assistant just vaulted past Alexa and Cortana in an 800-question test. So this talks about how Siri has improved dramatically. And it's really just based on like the whole feedback loop learning, analyzing data that people are asking it, that kind of thing. So
yeah, this is, you can see Siri moved to the number two spot. Google Assistant's still number one. Yeah. But before this, I think Siri was like last, down. Maybe?
It was bad. It was really bad.
So Bill did a decent job.
Yeah.
I mean, he was improving Siri. What do they want from him?
They put him in the car section, which is going, you know.
You think maybe like 6 months ago, it was like, you know, Bill's first lieutenant, they had like Tim had the talk with him and it's like, look, what's going on? And he's like, we've been running this shadow project. Like, we've done everything Bill's asked us to do, but he's crazy. We've done this other project where we think we figured it out. Why don't you let us launch that? And then they do, and it's this much better. And then Tim's like, all right, Bill, you're out.
See, I like the timeline where Bill's actually like really good at his job, but Apple doesn't reward that.
I guess
it's
we'll
much
know.
More interesting soap opera.
We will know soon enough.
What if it's much more like, you know, Bill's banging somebody's wife?
that would be really good soap opera.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that we are using AI for a lot of stuff. We've talked about insurance companies, which is a horrible dystopian future that's coming. Crime,
rapidly.
Crime statistics are using this kind of stuff. Some people are using it to determine who to promote or hire or whatever and their jobs and stuff. And now, housing.
Automated background checks are deciding who's fit for a home. This is a very long article that takes a long time to say that there's this guy who was fully disabled and he wanted to move in with his mom and they couldn't get a house. And it turns out it's because that guy stole something when he was 20 or was charged with stealing something when he was 20, but the charges were dropped. But the software couldn't say exactly why he was rejected for housing, just that it was rejected.
It wasn't dropped. It was like one step down from a misdemeanor. He paid a $150 fine.
Okay.
So it was really a very minor thing.
And years and years and years ago.
But most importantly,
he's now fully handicapped, which he wasn't.
Yeah, if that was the deciding factor, is like, oh, this kid might steal something. He literally cannot speak or feed himself at this stage. So his thieving days are well behind him. He had a climbing accident or something, fell off of something. So yeah, and they couldn't. They kept trying to find us. Like, okay, please tell us why you keep rejecting us for housing. And
I don't know. No one's ever asked
like,
that.
It threw this error. Look, it's a hex code.
Because you're a terrible person.
And
clearly,
now she's gonna sue over that.
Yeah,
it's a terrible thing. But I don't think you can take away the business's ability to turn anybody down for anything.
Yeah,
like of course we don't have that anymore, but we should.
It would be nice to know. I mean.
Yeah, they should have to disclose a reason. I think that would be like a nice middle ground.
But then if you force me to disclose a reason, you take away my ability to turn it down for anything, because then you're going to create these laws that say,
no, the software
I gotta bake you a cake.
I'm not saying that the landlord has to disclose the reason. I'm just saying that the landlord should know for what reason the software has rejected the applicant.
I don't think they care, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they probably don't. It's like just too much headache.
Yeah, keep this riffraff out of here.
Is there any dystopian fiction where like the software decides that somebody is a terrible person, which actually creates the situation where that it's like you're capable of murder.
Is that even fiction?
I've run your thing, and then they just create a situation where it's like, oh, you're capable of murder.
That's just reality.
It'd be like a modern version of switching places.
Well, yeah. What's going to happen is they're going to use the speech brainwave technology to scan your thoughts, and you're just going to be sitting around. It's like, oh, the Holocaust never happened. And it's like, never give this person housing. That's the future we're going into.
I'm thinking, you know, trading places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. And it's like Mortimer and the other guy had the $1 bet. And then, like, you know, by the end of it, Dan Aykroyd was like ready to shoot people and stuff. And then, it had a happy ending. But I'm imagining the AI version of that, where it's like the AI literally creates the situation.
Well, major advances in science this week as we've gotten essentially ray tracing for science.
Artificial intelligent artist instantly captures material properties. Now, the artist's name is misleading. It's an acronym. There's nothing artistic about it.
Let's see.
It's figuring out how photons interact with the material.
Artificial intelligence for spectroscopy.
I think.
That's a terrible word.
I can't read it from back here.
I've only ever said the word spectroscopic, so I'm not sure if spectroscopy has a different pronunciation.
So what it means is, you see this little beam right here? That's light.
Wow.
And the light is hitting this thing. And what this AI can do is it can simulate...
Pretty sure this is terrible stock photography.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, though. Don't you dare.
It doesn't look like that at the molecular level.
It's going to predict what happens when various things are hit with light without actually having to hit those various things with light.
Yay. Is the photon going to be absorbed? Is an electron going to be emitted? Film at 11.
It's clickbait.
The worst kind of clickbait.
Well, we talked a lot about, advances in robotics. But what about the fact that these robots are all just too huge? We need tiny, tiny, baby tiny robots. And now we're going to get them.
Four-legged walking robot is smaller than an ant's face.
That's pretty small.
I was really impressed by this until it was like, what did they do? They taped some magnets to the legs.
And I don't think they use tape.
Glue.
But here's said ant. I don't know what kind of ant this is.
It talks about it in the article.
There's lots of different kinds of ants, but here's this little guy.
Is it a mini ant?
You can see him. We'll watch him.
At a million FPS.
Just rumble around there. He's so small that it's hard to see him. But he just has these little like flippers. And they rotate. They got like a little...
Look at them go.
It's magnetic.
They look like tadpoles.
He's jumping.
Yeah, he's too small. He can't actually have motors. So they're
using power source.
Magnetic fields to rotate those things.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it is he'll basically last forever. Yeah. Like, you can't destroy him. I mean, you could put a little tiny bit of pressure on him and destroy him. But as far as travel, he'll just keep going.
Neat.
I don't know what we'd use him for.
Yeah, I don't know what the practical application of a robot that tiny is, but dang if it's not cute.
One thing he sure as hell can't do is deliver a towel. Maybe a tiny, tiny towel.
That's an amazing segue. At Alibaba's futuristic hotel, robots deliver towels and mix cocktails. They've got the video is not really like super interesting, but I mean, it's okay. It glows blue. It can call the elevator.
I imagine this guy just mixed a cocktail for this young lady and delivered it. But this is a hotel where it's called Fly Zoo. I don't know why they call it Fly Zoo. I think it's a pun in Chinese or something. But anyway, they are testing like cutting edge stuff. And this is sort of their little testing playground for stuff they want to sell to the rest of the hotel industry.
It could be neat. The more surprising thing for me was that Alibaba has a hotel.
Pretty cool. So the other thing about this hotel is it's all face recognition. And they claim they delete your face scan as soon as you check out.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Like, come on, this is China, bro. But you check in, you never interact with a human. You go to your room, your face is your key. You go inside, there's an app. So if you're like, hey, I'd like to order some bottles of water. You order your bottle of water on your app. The robot shows up, he scans your face, opens up, and gives you your water.
Oh, that's kind of nice. You don't have to go down to the machine at the end of the hall.
Right, yeah.
You know, in your socks, and you get locked out.
Or towel. He'll bring you towels or whatever. I think they have room service, and it's all... You very, very rarely have to interact with another human if you don't want to.
That's my kind of hotel experience.
They talk about the lobby. It looks like a spaceship. But there's almost no people in it, because why would you ever be in the lobby in this hotel? So, now here's one. This kind of interests me, but I'm not going to be an early adopter. I need this, but I ain't early adopting it.
You'll need like three of these. It's like iRobot unveils Terra, a Roomba lawnmower. It seems a little small. So.
Well, but here's the thing. It's just like the Roomba. It remembers where it left off, so it doesn't have to do it all in one.
Yeah, it can go and charge its batteries and come back. And it talks about the thing. Apparently, FCC approval was a big deal because some people that operate radio satellites were worried that its system would interfere with radio or like radio telescopes.
Yeah, so like this area here, you have to put these stakes in, so it knows it's like you're not allowed to cut down the flowers, but it will do the dad pattern and give you that nice. That nice look, and then it's a show somewhere. Oh, yeah. Here's the little things that you have to put in your garden.
Did this article mention the price?
I don't think so.
It's a bummer. I don't have a lawn yet, but one day I will.
Well, there are other products like this, like John Deere demoed one that's a little, like, a more beefy version of this.
A beefy version of a lawnmower.
This shows you how you can stake off to create this barrier to show it where it's not allowed to go. It also said it was an all-weather one, but I wonder, like, could it really cut in the rain? No. And would you ever want that?
No, you don't. You definitely don't want that.
So.
Ryan, you should get one. Like you need to get some cats.
Wet grass won't even work with a zero-turn gas monstrosity.
Yeah, I think you would run into some problems pretty quickly there. You would also have to clean that thing every once in a while. Yeah. There's no way it can just keep running if it's crusted over with grass.
Build the iRobot robot cleaning robot where also, all of your robots can go outside and be cleaned.
Also, there's no answer to the question of aggressive dogs or ducks or geese.
Or not imagine even aggressive dogs, just curious ones. Like, Rue would probably be like, what is that?
Yeah, imagine nose right on it. You put this out in like a public park next to a lake or something, and the geese are threatened by it. It's going to mow some geese.
Or they'll mess it up somehow.
That's a PR nightmare.
Maybe it can scare off other geese by putting the entrails of the first geese that it mows on the...
We'll throw a steak on top of it.
Yeah. That only makes them more aggressive.
It aggroes the geese.
We learned that from the forest.
Oh, it does make them more aggressive, I think.
All right, we will see you tomorrow with more news. And what categories?
I don't think we've decided yet.
Not
probably
nonsense.
Business.
Yeah, probably no, business.
Yeah, business was the big one, right?
Yeah.
A lot of choice.
Business, and we might throw security in with business, since that was the short one.
Okay.
What was it? I don't know. It's going to be fun to find out.
The Superb Owls are going to be here all week.
How about that sports team?